The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The one and only Darren Green Show. Girl, how y'all doing? It's your boy Darren Green, host of the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube, to leave your thoughts in the comments. And if you're not subscribed to the channel by now, girl, what are we doing? Subscribe to the goddamn channel. To the audio listeners, hey, how are you? Be sure to leave a rate and review of the podcast. If you're on Spotify, comment, girl, the comment section is on, child. Shout out to the audio listeners. Y'all really be, I'll be seeing y'all. Y'all showing up and showing down. Shout out to the We Are You Radio listeners. We are on this chipper Monday morning. Hope you guys are doing well on your commute to the job. As this episode is dropping, I am currently at my job as we speak, girl. Shout out to the 9-to-5ers, okay? Let's be very clear on that. Let's give another bomb to those people, okay? How y'all doing? I got to do a rain check. How are we doing right now? Because it's a lot. I'm trying to make this intro shorter than 10 minutes. We gonna try. But there's just a lot to get into today. I just want to know how you guys are doing, how you guys are feeling. If you're on YouTube watching this, girl, how y'all doing? What's going on? We need to regroup right now because there's just a lot going on. It's a lot of information that we received over the weekend. You guys already know what I'm talking about. And shit is hitting the fan. It's hitting the fan. Okay, and it did not have to be this way. It did not have to be this way, but we have a person that's in charge that is just running a freaking muck, and just every week is something new. Every week is something crazy. You get what I'm saying? First of all, people, before we get into that foolery, that time foolery, happy Juneteenth, okay? Happy belated Juneteenth. I was off. I had the off day. I know he made a comment talking about something. We need to get rid of some of these holidays and having off. I'm like, yeah, you bitch, shut up. Big ups to my black people, child, okay? It was Juneteenth. We celebrated really good. I was seeing a lot of people out and doing a little party, and I seen some cookouts and stuff like that. So shout out to y'all. I ain't do no cookout this weekend, but what I did for the holiday, I sat my ass down and laid down and went to sleep and relaxed on Juneteenth. I went to a graduation dinner with the fam, okay, because we got some family graduating. Shout out to the graduating students of 2025. Get that disability waiver. Get that disability letter from your doctor. Let me tell you right now, get that disability letter from your goddamn doctor, because I'm gonna tell you right now what Trump has in store for us. Let's just get into it. We're just gonna take the band-aid completely off. As y'all already have known by now, Trump announced that the U.S. has bombed 3 nuclear sites in Iran, and as for some reason he's calling this now it's time for peace. Okay, so he made a post on his Truth Social basically saying, "We have completed our very successful attack on 3 nuclear sites in Iran, including Fordow, Natanz, and Esfran." Okay, I'm saying that the best way I can, child. "All planes are now outside of Iran airspace. A full payload of bombs was dropped on the primary sites. Fordow, all planes are safely on their way home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. There's not another military in the world that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. Thank you for attention to this matter." Yeah, that's what he said. He dropped this bombshell, and when I told you all hell broke loose last night, because mind you, this was sad. This happened on Saturday night. I'm like, I'm over here. I done concluded what I wanted to write about for the show that I'm giving you guys now. And I'm like, okay, so everything's good, everything, whatever. I get a call from my best friend. Girl, he done bombed Iran. I'm like, what? He done bombed who? For what? Oh, my goodness. Now, these were the places that they bombed. They were facilities. They were bunker facilities that housed a lot of technology, like nuclear technology and stuff like that. And that was what he wanted to do because they don't want Iran to have nukes and stuff like that, which is, I mean, it's understandable. But, like, at the end of the day, like, you did this without any congressional approval. Like, you just did it off of a whim. This has, and let's be very clear, the Dems are upset about this or feel a way about this. I know AOC says something. Shout out to AOC for even invoking, like, a potential impeachment because the fact that you didn't go through the due process before making this decision says a lot. And that is illegal. That is, but you know, we're dealing with a dictator here. I mean, he basically can do whatever he wants. He can change the law to make it legal. But they did say that there are Republicans that feel a way about the decision that he made. Now, look, he made a statement. So this is, we're going to play 56 seconds of it. Okay. Cause I don't care what he'll see how to say, but this is what he had to say.
Short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and
That's enough of his ass on my damn podcast, okay? Now, they said Iran still is planning to continue nuclear programs. Basically, they got on their news platforms. They said, okay, Mr. Trump, you started it. We'll end it. So just expect to some form of a counterstrike. Hopefully they don't try to do nothing on U.S. soil, honestly. If you want to get the people, you know what I'm saying? We destroyed your stuff, destroy our stuff that's over there. You get what I'm saying? Don't come over here with that mess, Iran, because look, we didn't do it. Okay, and look, we can point you to the golf course. We can point you to Mar-a-Lago and all that, but we didn't do nothing. Please don't go to New York. It's very worrisome. It's very worrisome. I know a lot of people are talking about the draft. And let me tell you something. Trump supporters, people that voted for Trump, 18 to 30, bitch, all of them need to be drafted. Let's be very clear on that. 18 to 30 Trump supporters, y'all need to be drafted. A lot of these Republican politicians that supported this man, they kids need to be drafted. Yeah, put them in the Hunger Games. Okay. Like, at the end of the day, I ain't doing a thing. Okay, let them try something. I already got things in place. Okay, first of all, I found out fat people can't even serve. We can't even serve because we big backs. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good on that part, but I got some other things in play, too, if they really, really want to try to get busy because I'm not getting drafted, honey. You will see me get locked up before you see me fighting anybody else's war, child. You got me chopped, okay? Let's just talk about that. But there's a lot of people that I have cousins that are just graduating and stuff like that. This is scary. This is very scary. This is a very scary time. And I don't even know what the country going to look like next week. I mean, by the end of this week, you get what I'm saying? It's that bad. But we will see what happens. I mean, it is what it is. We'll see how Iran is going to react. We want to fight everybody else's battles. This all started because Israel wanted to poke beef at Iran now. Like, we got the president of Israel talk about something. This is an amazing, astonishing thing that Trump has done. Oh, shut up. When I tell you this shit really just irks my life. It irks everything on me. Another thing that really irked me, too, since we're still on this intro. I didn't really have a weekend report, so that's why I'm really talking about other shit here. But, like, I saw the Travis Scott Astroworld documentary. Like, I literally saw it last night. Oh, my goodness. It was horrific, first of all. If y'all don't know about that situation where he had his concert for Astroworld in Houston, where like 10 people literally died and there was a lot of people that were injured. I think watching like people's video footage of it, people had their phones, stuff like that, people getting trampled over, that is a scare. That is very scary. I have fear of like large groups of people. You get what I'm saying? Like, even when I went to Beyonce's concert, whatever, I felt a little like self-aware and very, oh my goodness, there's too many people. If I see more than 1,000 people, I'm just like, I'm going to go home. I want to get out of here. And the simple fact that you just can't leave when you want to leave, you can't move when you want to move, is you just, ugh. And that's why I said I would never go to festival concerts. Festival concerts are literally hell. Like, why would you want to, you outside and everybody trying to get to the front and everybody want to see. It was a barricade. They explained basically how bad the structure of the event was because there were other events like SZA performed and other people performed. And a lot of those people, they kind of, after SZA's show, they kind of migrated over to Travis Scott's. The capacity in that area was only for 36,000 people. And it was 56,000 people that attended. You get what I'm saying? And then not to tell, like, they broke down the wall. Like, they broke down the gates and stuff like that. So no telling. There is a number that they didn't even know how many people really was at this event. At first, I was like, I liked how the documentary, like, it held everybody accountable. Like, at the end of the day, Travis Scott, you had that mic. You had that little earpiece and that man, that audio person telling you, hey, stuff is going on. We need to stop this show. But then also, you got to blame Live Nation. Live Nation fostered this environment. They saw that, okay, we got 50,000 tickets sold, but this capacity is for 36,000 people. Y'all just want to make some fucking money on somebody's life. You get what I'm saying? And people died. It was very just disgusting to watch. And I feel bad for the families. It was kids that died. It was a child. So I think that the entertainment industry is very weird. It's very weird. And it's so weird to see that he elevated. Like, basically, Travis Scott had a number one album. He had so many different brand deals. His career actually skyrocketed after this situation. Wonder why. But anyway, let's get into the things. We 12 minutes in. I'm sorry, guys. We got to get into the drama. We got to talk about this week report of topics. Tyler Perry and his drama. We also have to talk about Whoopi Goldberg and how she stirred a conversation in regards to Israel. In regards to Iran, actually. We got to talk about B. Simone being a bad friend. All that and a whole lot more coming up on the Darren Green Show. But let's get into our first topic. We have got to talk about Mr. Tyler Perry, Madea, all the things, honey, all the things. I just have a couple of things to say about this topic because I feel like we have entered a space in social media where we just read headlines and we read, like, people even make the effort to read, like, the first couple paragraphs of the description and stuff like that, but we don't really read the whole article and talk about what was really talked about with certain topics. I say all that to say, y'all, I think there's more to this story that you guys are not trying to get. But anyway, we'll get into that when we get into that. But I'm going to read this little excerpt from the Neighborhood Talk, and we gonna get into the things. Now, according to TMZ, Dixon is suing Perry for $260 million. He says that he met the famous show creator back in 2019, and he was picked out of a crowd. He claims that Tyler asked for his number and ended up giving him a small role in his show Ruthless, which was, first of all, yeah. That show right there encapsulates his ass. Let's be very clear on that. I always felt that show was fucking weird. But in 2020, Perry allegedly invited Dixon to his house in Atlanta. Dixon's had a lot to drink. He ended up getting drunk and hadn't had to sleep in Tyler Perry's guest room. He claims that at one point, Perry got into his room, got into his bed, and was rubbing his thighs. But he rejected his advances. Dixon also says that he was invited over again in late 2020, and he went. He says things started off nicely and was welcome, but Tyler became very sexual and allegedly asked if he likes it rough in bed, then grabbed him by the throat. Okay, he claims and says in quotes, "Look how excited you just got." Now Dixon says he stopped Tyler, but has messages to prove that his claims of sexual harassment, like I said, we talked about this on TikTok. We went over the text messages. They're right here. Like I said, with the text messages, It gave very much like that weird, it gave like weird, nice uncle. Oof, Lord. It gave very much the person that's trying to like flirt with you, but they're not trying to overtly flirt with you. They're not trying to be like too sexual. I mean, there was some things that he said in there that he was talking about like bottoming and stuff like that and his sexual preference. These text messages seem like very chummy, but it seemed very, but also like you talking, this is your coworker. I mean, not your coworker. This is your employee. You get what I'm saying? I never had conversations with my boss. I don't even think I had their personal numbers. You get what I'm saying? Let alone you over here talking kind of low-key sexual in the text messages. I just thought that this is definitely on the grounds of harassment, definitely. But they said in 2021, Dixon claims that he was back at the home again. We're going to talk about that. And Tyler allegedly yanked down his underwear and grabbed his behind, telling him to just let it happen. He has filed a complaint with the EEOC in 2024 and quit the Oval. He's suing for quid pro quo, workplace sexual harassment, sexual assault, and battery. But Tyler's lawyer says that Dixon's attempt is a shakedown, and they claim that Dixon got too close to Tyler to run this scam. Wow. Okay, so people was pissing me off. The reason why people was pissing me off with this thing, and the reason why I made that comment in the beginning saying that people don't like to read, because people was reading the headlines, people was reading the text messages and saying that, oh, well, they're just text messages. He ain't do nothing. He ain't do no. Like, this man, he was over Tyler's house. He was invited to Tyler's house in multiple occasions, and things happened. Physical touch. You get what I'm saying? Y'all got to read the whole thing. You cannot just rely on these blogs, because yes, the blogs was just showing the text messages. Of course, that's not SA. It's harassment. It's sexual harassment, but it's not SA. You get what I'm saying? Y'all have to read the actual articles. It was multiple occasions where things got physical. The part where he was in his bed, the part where he was grabbing his what after yanking his underwear off, or him choking him. It's a lot. And it's more than what I'm telling you now, because, I mean, there are some pages that's reading the whole entire, like, file. I'm like, look, I ain't doing all that. I ain't doing all that, child. Y'all could do that shit. Y'all can go to Kempire. Kempire, shout out to Kempire. He got a whole video of him reading that. And I think Armand Wiggins, too. Armand did that, too. They read that whole thing. Look, I will never be that dedicated to maybe that's why I'm at where I'm at, child. But look, we just going to talk about it on the surface. But no, there's a lot that was talked about here. And for the lawyer's response to be, oh, he got too close. He got close to Tyler and he's making it like, why was he that close? Why was he at his house? Now, granted, why was the boy repeatedly going back to Tyler's house? Because he went back two times. You get what I'm saying? That's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, but then also you have to understand that this is Tyler freaking Perry. This is your boss. He has the power, and I said this to my best friend, he has the power to literally change your entire life and take it back at the same damn time. So you mean to tell me he probably wasn't like, you better come over this house. You better come to this house or else. You get what I'm saying? No. There's a lot at play here. And then there's people today. I found this whole topic interesting. There were so many people today. Now, I get that you're surprised that this is like an essay situation, but like, why are people saying, oh my God, Tyler was gay? Tyler likes men? Like, girl. I mean, allegedly, yeah. Like, y'all haven't heard? I mean, he played Madea real well. Girl, let me stop. But no, yeah, Tyler, I don't see how that really, Tyler never gave straight. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it's a spectrum for him, maybe fluid, I would say, but not hetero. No. Now, mind you, ain't he married or something like that? I know he got kids, so is he married or he just got kids? Yeah, sign them papers, bookie, okay? And at the end of the day, I know people are having questions on like why, like they're looking at it in the sense that this is this white man, this is a snow bunny, essentially snow bunny, air quotes, that's essentially trying to shake down another black man that's in it there. We have those conversations. I know Funky Doneva had some words with this. I want to talk about this, but I also don't want to contribute in the dogpiling of this black man. I get we want to hold true to that. But if he did this shit, do you get what I'm saying? Then he need to be held accountable. And I think that this is opening up the floodgates, because I'm pretty sure if he did this to him, you know, this, we still don't know. I think more people are going to come out and say, hey, this is my experience too. They also detailed in the suit, they detailed Christian Keys. I didn't know his child. I was shooting blanks when I made that TikTok video. Christian Keys' name was brought up. And I like to believe that Christian Keys was talking about Tyler Perry. He said, this powerful billionaire did so-and-so to me. Let's be clear. Christian Keys, he did nothing but Tyler Perry stuff. Tyler Perry stuff and a lot of those low-budget plays that be in Atlanta. So you get what I'm saying? So he ain't around a lot of billionaires other than Tyler. So I think that I would like to see him say, you know what? Yeah, this checks out, because you know what? This happened to me too with him. And it's going to open up the floodgates and it's going to be more. And that response that the lawyer made is not good enough. I'm sorry. Oh, he got too close. Why was he close in the first place? That's your employee. I ain't never went over my manager's houses. Okay, let's be very clear. I almost did. It was very close with my previous employer. You get what I'm saying? But I caught that damn discernment. I wasn't going to that bitch house at all. There was something that I was like, I'm not having no, and it was a baby shower too. I'm like, first of all, girl, what? No, I was not going. I definitely flaked out and said something. It was like something, I'm dealing with family troubles. Like, I have to renege on this. Yeah, no, I'm not going over my manager's house. We're not talking. We cool when we on the clock, but it's all cool and jovial. But after the clock, girl, I'm out. Like, that's weird. That's some weird ass shit. But I happen to think that there is some truthiness with this story, and we will see how it plays out in court. Well, nothing that we can do now, whether he's going to settle, which typically that's the reality, or they'll go through with this in court. So we will definitely see. I will definitely keep you posted on it. But yeah, girl, that's what's going on. Another thing I wanted to get into, child, they saying B. Simone is a bad friend. Do I got something? They saying B. Simone is a bad freaking friend. Yeah, girl. Now, let me read this little excerpt. They said B. Simone is facing hella criticism after her best friend, Shanika, became vulnerable about her receiving her not receiving help during a tough time in her life. During the episode of B. Simone's podcast, Shanika opened up with her financial struggles over the past year. She said that she was unemployed, a single mother, living at her parents' house, and had a car repossessed. However, what got people to talk about Shanika, I don't know if I'm butchering her name. I think it's Shanika or Shanika. I think it's Shanika. Revealing that she didn't receive any help from her bestie, B. Simone. We're going to play that clip of the episode, actually, okay?
Friend with a celebrity, everybody thinks that, oh, because you're connected to this person, then your life is just as grand as theirs, or you got it,
or they helping you.
Baby, didn't have a job, living with my parents, a single mom. All this happened to me this past year.
Jesus.
And then it's to not have resentment in my heart towards you, because I saw you do this for other people. I saw you give a check to somebody to help them through whatever they went through. And it's like, God, like, nobody didn't give me a handout, but guess what? That wasn't your responsibility. God had to take me through that for my own season, for my own thing. I had to get my car repossessed.
Jesus.
I had to go through the food stamps line. I had to be on Medicaid, because whatever I'm building my story too. But it's as a friend somebody who has it, it's hard to digest. They're probably shocked that I'm even saying this right now.
Okay. Yeah. So there was a lot of people that were saying a lot of things about this. This clip was the one that got so viral, but there's other parts of this episode that we'll get into a little bit later. But basically they're calling out B. Simone, saying there, she's sitting there talking about Jesus and I'm homeless. There's a lot of people saying that, yo, you could have definitely stopped her car from getting repossessed. Something, you could have helped us. Something. You get what I'm saying? Let's get into the things. This is such an interesting topic, because in the beginning of this topic, you may appear that I'm being on, like I'm on B. Simone's side, which I'm not. I don't mess with that girl. I don't, she wants to be in this religious space. She did this damn church, this cult church, whatever you want to call a child, and had the damn suit on, the suit top with the booty short bottoms and showing your ass and everything. And girl, we supposed to be talking about the Lord? Yeah, okay. I don't mess with B. Simone. I think that I made that very clear in previous episodes and other things like that. I don't fuck with her. I will say this. I think that this conversation was kind of presented in a goofy way. Because if you think about it, oh my goodness, my best friend's a celebrity. It doesn't mean that she has to help me through my troubles and trauma and then set the third. But she did other people. I mean, watching you do favors for other people, I tried not to hold resentment towards you. Like, it was weird, but, like, at the end of the day, and then her saying Jesus, like, doing the whole, I'm like, B. Simone, stop it. That, first of all, I think she's starting to cult. I'm being real honest, and I don't mean to be accusatory when people start to find God and all that stuff, but I think B. Simone is in a cult, child, and she put her friends in it as well. It's just something weird going on with their vibe. She gives off a very dark spirit, and I'm the last person to say that because you get what I'm saying, but she just gives off very dark energy. I will say this, though. I think that you're not, just because you're well endowed, either you're a celebrity, you're well endowed as far as finances and stuff like that, and you may have a friend that's struggling, that does not give that friend the right to your resources just because they're going through shit. And I know that may sound like messed up. You get what I'm saying? Like, this girl says she was living with her mom. That's a luxury that not a lot of people have nowadays. You get what I'm saying? Now, if she was homeless, if she was living in her car, then the car got repossessed, and then she out on the street and stuff like that. Now, B. Simone, you can open up that damn house to her. You can have that girl sleeping in that goddamn living room. Let's be very clear on that. But it's the simple fact that she was living with her parents' house. That's literally a lot of us right now because we can't afford ways to live. At least you got that luxury of being with your mama house that you can get your shit together, stack your coins. You're with B. Simone. I'm pretty sure she's giving you some type of pointers, whatever. I mean, she ain't gonna give you like no money. You're not entitled. I'm not entitled to my best friend's money if I'm going through it. And I was going through it this summer. Yes, it was a couple months that I was not employed. Okay, and the money and being unemployed, let me tell you something. Someone said being poor is the most expensive thing to be. Okay. So my money was bleeding out, and I found a job. I'm with the generation to pull yourself off your bootstraps, child. Now, my best friend, she's well and down. She's doing what she's doing with her massage therapy and stuff like that. Shout out to her. But I was never like, oh, my goodness, I need this or I need that. You got to figure that out on your own, child. But that quote where it says, if you teach a man to fish, then he'll have food for a lifetime. You get what I'm saying? I don't think that B. Simone, obviously, she's on her podcast, and she probably put her on to some things and things in that nature. I don't think that the friend is entitled to her money. Now, I know that may sound cold, but that's how a lot of people get caught up. Like, when you know that you're well endowed, you know that you're financially stable, and then there's a person that's you real cool with them, you're real close with them, that's at the third, that's in your inner circle, and they are going through it, and they're expecting like a little bit of a handout. That you could see how that could start to be like, okay, now it's getting into the, you're taking advantage of me a little bit. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like she had to figure it out on her own, and she did. Now, what I didn't like her saying was, she said, I had to let God and God in. God, let me tell you something. Look, let's be very clear on that. You ain't got to bring God into it. You ain't got to bring, you. Look, at the end of the day, everybody gets down on their luck. Sometimes you have to sit in that shit. You have to sit in that shit. And do what needs to be done so that you can have a better tomorrow. You have to do, whether that means you better get in there and start applying for these damn jobs. You at your mama house so you can stack. You get what I'm saying? That's what you can do. Don't rely on your friends that got money to bail you out of things. That's just my thing on that. And call me a bad friend and I'm a bad friend. I don't know. But I will say this. Everybody has choices in life that puts them in the places that they are right now. And everybody's on their divine time. Just because things is not going well for you does not mean it's going to be like that in the future. With that being said, I am going to talk about what I felt may be Simone a bad friend and what nobody else is talking about, because there was a part in that podcast where she was talking about, the friend was talking about an opportunity and was telling B. Simone about it just to get her happy about it and proud for her. And B. Simone said that she did not like it. Like, she felt a way about it. Like, it was like, and then she was like, well, was it envy? And B. Simone was like, no, I'm not envious because I don't want what you have. And it's that and the third. It was the fact that we couldn't do this together. And what that sound like to me was that I didn't give you this opportunity. I'm upset because I didn't give you this opportunity. B. Simone is the type I want to give people that's around me, people that come up for me. I want to give them the opportunity. I want to be that person that did it. And I don't want them to get it on their own. You got to watch hoes like that. Now, you got to watch hoes like that. Let's be very clear on that. She was very upset. It was very weird to watch. If you watch that clip, because the clip is going, and that clip is now going viral as well. I know it's on the social media sites, but it is not as viral as the clip that I just showed you. But it was very cultish. It's a very cultish mindset. And somebody said that B. Simone has a monitoring spirit. And for those who do not know what a monitoring spirit is, these are people that observe and watch individuals, and they make plans to basically harm that person that they're observing or try to sabotage whatever it is that they got going on. That bitch got a monitoring spirit, and you got to watch people like that, especially, and these are very prominent in a lot of Christian groups. Because I looked it up, child. It's very prominent in these Christian groups. She got a goddamn Christian group where it's giving very cult vibes. She over here with the damn Steve Harvey suit and the Megan Thee Stallion booty shorts on the bottom. Like, it... Watch people like B. Simone, point blank, period. And that's all I got to say about that. It is what it is. We can move on. I did want to talk about Whoopi Goldberg for a little second. Okay, because she definitely made headlines. Her and Alyssa Fairfax. I call that girl Fairfax, child. She showed her true colors, okay? She showed her true colors. But on The View, Whoopi Goldberg tried to explain that the Black American experience shaped by centuries of racism, violence, and systemic terror is as brutal in many ways as living under the regime of Iran's. This is what the clip was about. I'm going to play this, okay?
It's slow.
But let's just remember, too, the Iranians literally throw gay people off of buildings. They don't adhere to basic human rights.
Here's the thing. Let's not do that, because if we start with that, we have been known in this country to tie gay folks to the car.
Where the Iranian regime is, they used to just keep hanging
Black people. So
it is not even the same.
What you mean to say? It is the same.
No, it's not. The year 2025 of the United States is nothing like if I step foot wearing this outfit into Iran, killed for my... I can't have my hair showing. I can't wear a skirt. I can't have my arms out.
I'm telling you, as a...
I literally said it was up to the Iranian people.
Yes, it is up to them. And that's why I am saying that it is the same. Murdering someone for their difference is not good, whoever does it. Right? And it's slow.
Yeah.
Did they go over?
So that's why I said you weren't saying what I heard was not what you meant.
I think it's very different to live in the United States in 2025 than it is to live in Iran.
Not if you're Black.
Not for everybody.
Not if you're Black.
Guys, don't go to Tehran.
Let me tell you about being in this country. This is the greatest country in the world. But, yeah, I know that. And we all know that. But every day, we are worried. Do we have to be worried about our kids? Are our kids going to get shot because they're running through somebody's neighborhood?
She said a lot here, and we've all been there. I will start this or that. We have all been there trying to tell somebody that the Black experience is not, it's almost similar to what happens in the Middle East, what they're doing with Iran, a lot of these fascist regime countries. Let's be very clear on that. This was never about which nation is worse. This was about how Black suffering is constantly disregarded, disrespected, dismissed, interrupted, as you can see here with Alyssa. Now, I thought Alyssa was cool. I thought she was one of the cool ones, but you know what? You never really can trust the conservative. You can't. At some point, they will show their freaking true colors. And that centrist all over there with the blonde hair, Sarah, she be pissing me off too. Because she be coming off real, she a little bit on the left, child. A little bit too on the left, child. Or not the left, but the right. I think the part where Alyssa sighed when Whoopi was like, just remember that we didn't start voting until the 60s. And she said, oh my God. Like we've been there. I've been in several conversations. I've been in conversations all the time with my previous employer. And I know, look, we're going to keep on bringing them up, but I'm going to bring them up. But like where we would get into the political conversation and then it's just like a side, like, I just feel like people are just too sensitive. And I feel like we live in this good American land. Girl, shut up. It's so easy for the person that's on the other side to say those things, to say that we are living in a way better experience than what we're seeing over there in Iran. For her to sit there and say that they're throwing gay people off of buildings and stuff like that. Yeah, that's the government. That doesn't speak for everybody. Like, it's very, what's the word? We're generalizing. So for people, I don't think every person is like that over there. You get what I'm saying? I think it's the government. The government is what's evil, just like us. We're not all bad. We're not all whatever. It's our government that's evil, that's doing all these things. You get what I'm saying? So I think that the dismissive nature in that clip, and then also the response, we got people like Bill Maher talking about some, oh yeah, well, I don't want to see Whoopi no more in The View. They're trying to get Whoopi to get canceled again. It's never going to freaking happen. Let's knock on wood, because if Whoopi get canceled, child, then that show going to get canceled. How about that? But I don't think what Whoopi said was wrong. I think that there is some truth to it. Now, is it at the magnitude? Let's be very clear. Is it at the magnitude? Would I rather be in Iran or the U.S.? Let's be very clear. I'd rather be in the U.S. But let's not act like there isn't a possibility that I can get unalive over some racial shit. It is a reality every time I walk out of the house. Every time there is a cop around, I'm nervous. You get what I'm saying? Because I don't know what type of time he on. I don't know if he wants to get something off. He wants to sit there and try to get his quota and kill a black. You get what I'm saying? Let's be very clear. When we're in those MAGA areas, we don't know what type of time they on, what type of what they want to do. They think I'm in their spaces and stuff like that. And they got the right to shoot. They got the concealed carry and all that other stuff. So no, I mean, no, there's instances where it's not safe to live in this country if you are non-white. And that's something Alyssa would never know and she would never understand. Some people just not going to get it. They just not going to get it. They never going to get it. And it is what it is. I just think it was a big miscommunication if you really think about it, because she was trying to say what she was trying to say, but then Whoopi was trying to be like, look, let me tell you something. It's very similar. Ain't saying it's the same, but it's very similar. And that's all that was talked about. And I guess when you on that show, child, they just be yelling and screaming and they don't be hearing each other out, child. That's why I had to stop watching The View, because I'm like, girl, y'all are so freaking divisive and shit. Like, I cannot with y'all. Now, speaking of microaggressions, child, I guess we could talk about Riley Burris. Candy Burris's daughter is on this show called Next Gen NYC. And she experienced a little bit of a microaggression with one of the white cast members there. Riley Burris is standing up for herself on the latest episode of Next Gen NYC. The daughter of the Real Housewives alum Candy Burris had an emotional exchange with a co-star, Charlie. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but his name is Charlie. After he accused her of accosting his girlfriend by being rude and not introducing herself. In a playback of the incident he's referring to, Riley is seen introducing herself to the girl and telling her, nice to meet you. She adds, I love when my friends' girls ask my name. I'm his friend. You should be nice. After being confronted by Charlie in front of their fellow castmates, Riley becomes emotional and begins to cry, pointing out that she has not been rude and rolled her neck when Charlie claimed. While Charlie appears to be uncomfortable as race becomes an underlying factor in Riley's stance, 10 toes down. In the clip, she calls her mom, who gives her a little bit of advice. Now, here was the clip.
There's two girls, and she goes up to one and is like, yo, like, you think it's cool to just be here with Charlie, but not come up and make sure it's cool?
I did not do that.
Yes,
that
is a lie. Thanks.
Sylvia,
hi.
Glad to meet you. Sorry, I love when my friend's girls ask my name. I'm his friend. You should be nice. I went up and I said, hey, I'm Riley. Like, you, like, like, you didn't say anything. You didn't introduce yourself.
Yeah,
to us.
That was the attitude. It was like.
Wait, but also, Charlie, the
by
girl.
By the way, she handled it well. She was like.
Who handled it well?
The girl. No, I'm saying the girl handled it well.
All night, these girls never introduced herself. It was odd. It was
Riley
odd.
Didn't introduce herself either. I didn't see her go up and say, hey, nice to meet you. First thing she said was accosting her, like.
Wait, Riley, are you?
At that point, she got emotional, and that's when the microaggression conversation happened with it. Oh, I didn't play the video, so y'all heard it, but it's whatever. Yeah, I mean, I felt like this was kind of like a stupid little interaction, but I can understand where Riley is coming from at the same time. It's, we're in a group, we're friends, air quotes. I think Riley needs to understand, too, that just because you are casted with these people in this friend group, y'all are not really friends. You're going to connect with the people that you're going to connect with, and you're going to be with people that you're not really. Just because y'all in the same show don't mean it's y'all friends, because this man is clearly not her friend, vice versa. I think she should understand that. But then also, I mean, there is a little bit of a microaggression because they try to call her aggressive, and they always do that to the black women. Oh, because she towered over her and she's tall or she's big. No, you know, because she's big and black. Because she's big and freaking black. You get what I'm saying? Not big, because she slimmed down, but like I'm saying, like she's more robust than I guess the little girlfriend that she was trying to introduce herself to. I think that, yeah, we have to be mindful. It's so unfortunate that when we're in white spaces, and I'm just being real honest, like it just is what it is. When we're in white spaces, we have to control or regulate our emotions sometimes and how we come off. Because it will come off always as aggressive. I know this firsthand. And I keep on bringing them up, but I'm going to bring them up on this episode because it's goddamn warranted. But my last employer, I had to regulate my emotions because I didn't know if these white women felt like I was about to attack them and they had to call the cops. So I had to regulate my emotions for 8 hours of a freaking day. You get what I'm saying? It's very exhausting. So I understand where Riley is coming from. And Candy gave her some words of advice. I think that it's kind of weird that it's primarily white cast. I already knew it was going to be some stuff. It was going to be some racial stuff going on. And they said it's the same time. There's some stuff going on Love Island. Same thing, different font. You get what I'm saying? It's weird. It's very weird. But this is where we are. Speaking of reality TV, I guess we can get into the reality T of it all. So Phaedra Parks is teasing, apparently, Real Housewives of Atlanta season 17. Girl, this is what she said.
She skipped the reunion. What can you tell us about this?
I guess talk about Britt.
Well, I expected her to be there. She picked up her dress, and I know she got a manicure and pedicure in preparation for the reunion. So I was utterly shocked when I found out she wasn't there. I had no idea she wasn't coming. So it was a huge shock to me.
And yeah, have you been in touch with her at all since then?
I had sent her a wonderfully gorgeous bouquet of flowers before the reunion, the day before, just to encourage her. And she had a death in her family. So she sent me a text, and that's about the extent of it. She thanking me for the flowers, and I just wish her the best of luck.
But you haven't communicated at all since?
Well, I mean, yes. Yes, we're still in a good place.
Okay.
She's trying to get some information.
What about Kenya being disinvited? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I don't know, because the whole Kenya scenario happened well before I returned, and so I can't speak on it because I have no information on it.
Were you expecting her to be there?
I was only there for 10 days, so the network obviously makes their decision, so I was just happy to be there.
Yeah. Are there any other surprises we'll see at the reunion?
Oh, there will be quite a few surprises and a lot of secrets revealed. So it's definitely a got you moment for a few of our housewives.
Dramatic does it get?
It's very dramatic, but most reunions are dramatic. Everyone's dressed in absolutely perfect clothes, but perfection, yes. Perfection with a purpose, because it definitely, the peaches will be turning.
Uh-oh.
I like that. We see you next season.
You will definitely see me next season. I was only on 10 days working this season. So I'm coming back ready to have some Housewives fun.
Talk about Brit. She skipped the reunion.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know if that's a confirmation that season 17 is happening. Let's be very clear. They're going through a whole freaking lawsuit, okay? So I think $20 million. I think that's what Brit is suing them for. $20 million. Yeah, I don't know. And we did get word. I mean, Radar Online dropped the exclusive, if you want to call it that, that Bravo is considering cutting all the Housewives shows, the franchise. So we don't know if it's going to be a Real Housewives of Atlanta season 17. I don't know what she was. I mean, she basically says she'll be back, but, you know, she's open to being back. But that don't mean that it's going to be back. That's going to be our show to come back to. Let's be very clear on that. But yeah, it's, we'll see. I have not watching this, the last part of this season. I might catch up because I'm going to watch the reunion because I'm going to see what it gives. But after everything played out, how it played out, and then Phaedra came back and then being like a little bit of a mean girl, I'm just not feeling it. Like, it's a little unauthentic, child, if you ask me. But we can move on. Let's talk about, since we're on the reality of things, do I have the video? No, I don't have the video. But Scrappy, I talked about it on my TikTok. Scrappy Dappy Doo, child, from Love & Hip Hop, was dragging the Housewives ladies in Porsche or whatever, because of the things that Mama D said, his mom. Let's be very clear on that. I thought that was very stupid. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll get into the Who Childs because there's nothing really else going on in reality TV. It's shout out to my man. Let me see. Shout out to Jesse Smollett, child. Who Child? He just announced his engagement with the actor Jabari Reed. Or is it Red? Yeah, I think it's Red. Yeah. Shout out to him. I mean, they had a little photo shoot or whatever. It looked like a little photo shoot. Everything was planned and stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, you doing your little thing. You're doing your little thingy thing. I love Jesse Smollett. I don't care what nobody says. Okay, he may have gotten caught up with that whole situation. Why they say when they took them pictures too, they was like, oh, he's doing those proposal pictures in the same place he got attacked. I need you bitches to stop. Like, y'all have to stop. yeah, that was something to talk about. What else is going on, child? They Krishan Rock. And I talk about this woman very rarely because she makes my brain hurt, honestly. This hoe got kicked off of Twitch because she left, or allegedly, well, she's, well, ain't no allegedly, she did. She left her damn child in a damn car for an hour. Okay. Mind you, this child, I'm not trying to be rude, but the child is special needs. Let's be very clear on that. I think it's been confirmed. This child has special needs. You left this man, this child, this baby in a car for an hour while you were doing whatever you were doing. I think I want to say it was the prom stream or some shit, or the stream prom, whatever they want to call that shit. Your ass left your child in the goddamn car. That child could have died. You ain't had nobody to watch your kids. You ain't got no nanny. At this point, Krishan Rock is going through it. She got kicked out of her house that she had bought. I remember that was going on. I bought this house. You ain't bought shit. You back in Blueface house because you strung out. Them baddies checks then ran out. Let's be very clear. And you are over here running the freaking muck. You going on these streams and you're leaving your kid in the car. You better be lucky that's all that was done to you, that you was kicked off of Twitch. And not the CPS is at your door. Because let's be very clear, CPS will take away people's kids for less. You left them in the car. What is wrong with you? Like, that's why I said I got to talk about her. I cannot talk about her a lot because I get real pissed off because she is just so negligent and dumb. Like, I literally can't. Another interesting conversation. David Banner says that he does not believe in the devil, child. Watch this clip right here.
Devil. Man, devil, you the devil. The reason why they give you something exterior, so you would never fix you. If you keep blaming on the devil, you won't fix your black ass. You the problem. Go fix you. If you didn't make the team, and the devil didn't do it, you didn't do your reps. You didn't stay in the gym. That ain't the devil. That's you. But they tell you the devil so you will never fix the devil in your black ass. And if you really believe in God and think that God is omnipotent, how you put anything next to God? If God created the devil, you shouldn't even put the devil in the same conversation. I don't believe.
Come on. I think there was definitely some truthfulness that he said here. I think that people, like, when they, and really towards the people that do fucked up shit to other people or fucked up shit in general, it's always, oh, the devil was taking over. Oh, the devil was, no, bitch, it was you. I need people, like, you all give the devil too much credit, honey. A lot of y'all are some demons. And it ain't because of him. It's because of y'all. It's because of your upbringing and because of your personalities and the way that you are. I happen to believe in what he said here because at the end of the day, everything that you do is a reflection of you. You did it. Ain't nobody make you do nothing. Ain't nobody influence you to do whatever the fuck you did. Or if you felt like you didn't accomplish this or you didn't do this or you didn't, whatever the case is, you cannot. I hate when people just try to say, oh, the devil's trying me. And no, you were negligent. Okay. You did it. No one made you. No one put a gun to your head and said, he ain't putting a gun to nobody's head saying, you better do this dastardly deed. Let's be very clear on that. So shout out to David Banner. And that was just a couple of who chows that I wanted to get into, wanted to get off before I get up out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. That is it. That's it for today. We'll have more topics to come out. I'll probably do a little bit more reels in the week as topics start to populate. Because every time I drop this episode, child, it'd be five of the headlines that came out. I'm like, damn. Like, the news is always news. And okay, I will see you guys later.